Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Pastor Mulupa, good afternoon to you, sir.
Hey, good afternoon, Elder. How are you doing?
Very well, thank you. How are you doing?
The Lord is good, man.
Fantastic, man. Great to have you once again. I hope you've been having a good day.
Amen. From broadcast to baptism, what more can I ask for?
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, indeed. man, thank you so much for that. Now, you know, in the conversation about the nature of sin and its consequences, in many cases, we as humanity judge the gravity of the sin by the weight of its consequences. That's why we have so-called white lies, which are considered harmless. Even our justice system does not punish every crime equally. Now, when we bring this to sin and spirituality, is there any sin that is considered smaller than the other or bigger than the other? Or perhaps is all sin equally egregious before God?
That's an interesting question you're asking, man. but before I answer your question, I'm not happy with you today. You didn't play a song.
Man, I saw my time is
talking to the police, and now we're diving into serious stuff. No, man.
I'm going to make it up to you. Tomorrow, I'm definitely going to make it up to you.
please.
No, I apologize for that, Pastor. I think our conversation went overboard with the previous guest. Thank you so much.
That's fine. Look, the situation with what you are asking is, I think the premise is not the correct premise to think that that sin is it can be weighed, because then if we're thinking that sin can be weighed, then we also have to then allow the fact that if sin is weighable, then sin can be washed off.
Okay.
There's work that I can do, because if there's a weight to it, then there's something that I can do to remove it. And it is not the case. There's no way you can weigh it. Now, that also borders on the line of sin being, how does Paul put it? He says the transgression, sin being a transgression. You see, when you look at sin from the precipice of it being a transgression, then you also have a problem. Sin is a separation. If you are looking at it from the optics of it being a separation, then you've got a better discussion platform. You are no longer talking about white lies and grave lies. You are now talking about lies, period.
Yeah.
So that sin can just be sin. And then it will show you that it does not matter how small it is. As long as it creates a separation, it is sin. It must not be tolerated. So it takes away the issue of gravity and lightness. It takes away the issue of maybe this one can be forgivable. No, you see, the question you're asking is a question that these guys asked when they were saying to Christ, why is their work being done on Sabbath and those kind of questions. And Christ then answers them and says, the Sabbath is for the is meant to serve you. The Sabbath is not meant for you to serve it. The Sabbath is meant for people. It is not meant. Are you there, Dan?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm here. I'm here, Pastor.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm hearing a background. I thought you were gone.
No, I'm here.
The Sabbath is not meant that it must be the one that rules over or that you serve. You can't serve the Sabbath. The Sabbath must serve you. So the issue becomes this. they are trying to put the law or they are trying to place sin as a transgression. When in actual fact, if they place sin as a transgression, they will have these kind of problems whereby then the Sabbath, they will be serving the Sabbath, because what they are trying to do is not to transgress the law. Meanwhile, when you look at it as a form of as separation, when sin is separation, then on Sabbath, if your donkey falls into a pit, you get to work and you pull it out because you are not separating from God. You are actually getting closer to God. Let me become a little bit touchy. Let me step on some cons, right? So I had a problem when I was studying in Solusi.
Right.
I when I got there, then the diet was beans and chunks and rice and sadza. That's pap in Zimbabwe and bida. That was and egg sauce. You know, that was the diet, the menu in Solusi.
Mm.
But that menu was it gave me a problem. I became sick because of that menu. And my academics were struggling because if my body is struggling, then concentration and all those things, I was struggling academically. One of the lecturers calls me aside. He says, "Man, when you arrived here, you were on fire. You know, you were A plus, A minus. You know, now you have dropped. You are like C plus. What's going on?" I said, "I really don't know. I think it might be the diet." The guy said, "What's the problem?" I said, "No, me, I eat meat. I got here, these people don't eat meat." He says, "Okay, that's fine. Come to my house I will, twice a week, I will cook chicken for you."
Mm-hmm.
I went to his house. When I arrived there, him and his wife, they start having a debate about what he has offered me because they don't eat meat. Their family doesn't eat meat.
Mm-hmm.
But now they've invited me and they've offered to cook meat for me. So the conversation spills into the visit when I'm there. And the lecturer then says, he's now a PhD, he's a pastor. The lecturer then says to the wife, "You see, if your problem is killing you, then you've got to solve the problem and not die."
Yeah. Yeah.
So we're talking about separation from God.
Mm.
If the thing that you are doing is killing you, is separating you from God, that very thing becomes sin.
Yeah.
That is what sin is. Sin is not,
that's a serious
is not
statement.
Necessarily transgression.
Mm.
Sin is a separation. When you have a separation, then you have sin. In its totality, you have sin. So transgression is a legalistic way of defining sin, which is very problematic because it does not solve the problem of the real problem, which is, by the way, Revelation chapter 14 in the three angels' message. The third angel's message, all that God is asking for is a relationship with you and I. And that, you see, when you define sin according to transgression, it does not solve the problem of Revelation 14 in the third angel's message. Because all that God is asking from you and I is to have quality time, is to have a relationship, is to have a situation where he says, "Let us reason together." You can't, you will not be able to reason together with God when you are separated from him.
True.
Particularly if you are looking at sin from a perspective of transgression.
Yeah. Man. Now, what would you say is, the danger, of underestimating the gravity of sin or perhaps weighing it by its consequences?
Right. Now, remember what we spoke about yesterday, that when Adam and Eve sinned, then God did them a favor grace, unmerited favor, right?
Yeah, yeah.
By removing the Shekinah glory. When he removed the Shekinah glory, he was actually showing them unmerited favor.
Mm.
Now, what happens is, when that Shekinah glory has been removed, then it gives space for sin to bring in death. So hamartia, that's Greek for sin,
mm.
brings in thanatos, that's Greek for death.
Mm-hmm.
Those two are very closely related,
okay.
right?
All right.
So when the relationship with God moves away from a person, it is a guarantee that firstly, you are going to be enclosed by death,
mm.
whether it happens immediately or later,
yeah.
or both. Because remember, there's going to be a resurrection and a death,
yes.
even for those who are going to damnation.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So whether it happens now or later or both, the reality of the matter is this, that you cannot have a situation where you underestimate sin at any cost. You need to be in a place where you are aware that I have now moved away from a relationship with God.
Mm.
The sin is costing a drift. You know, have you ever seen in life, have you ever seen, a friend of mine was saying to me the other day, I have not spoken to God in a while. I go to church, and here's the funny part. He says, I go to church, I preach, I pray the official prayers, and that's it. But I have not spoken to God in a while. I said to him, why? He says, man, it's been tough. It's been tough to talk to God.
Mm.
I've moved away, so far away from him, that I've been so much hurt,
sure.
that I can't bring myself to talking to God.
Mm.
But that's what sin does. It removes you from the presence of Jehovah.
Yeah.
And then when you look at yourself, you can even feel when Thanatos is now clothing you, that I'm now moving towards death. I'm no longer alive. You know, Dala, one other aspect that is a positive, it's a plus point. When you have a relationship with God, is peace. Peace is expensive.
It is. It is.
It's very, very expensive. But it is free when you have a relationship with God.
Wow.
Because he says, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you peace.
Sure. Hey, now, that hits.
But you can't take sin for granted.
True.
To answer your question, you cannot take sin for granted. There's nothing that you must do to take sin for granted. Anything that you do that separates you from God, that thing, you must get rid of it so that it does not become a hindrance between you and God.
Mm. Beautiful stuff. Beautiful stuff. Now, let's wrap up, Pastor. And I would want us to wrap up on this note. But please draw a line, you know, for us between legality and morality. How do we distinguish between what is legal versus what is right?
Okay. Sure. I would have loved the question to be, what is right and what is person?
Okay. All right. Okay.
because legal and right are a very big gray area.
True.
Which will take me another 30 minutes to talk about.
I get you.
Mm. But right and person are very distinct.
Okay. Please unpack it then.
Now, you cannot value right over a person. That's why Jesus doesn't say, love the law. Jesus says, love your neighbor.
Mm.
He doesn't say, love the law. The law is right. But Jesus says, love your neighbor.
Yeah.
Your neighbor may be wrong. He doesn't put a condition that love your neighbor when they are right. He says, love your neighbor. Because the thing that is valuable is not the law. The thing that is valuable is the person. The person can change to follow the law. The law can never change to follow the person.
Mm.
So the value is in the one who is able to have a relationship with God. So he's saying, when you have these two in juxtaposition, your love must be to the person, because that's where the saving power comes from. Salvific grace comes to the part comes through the part where you love the person rather than forcing the person to love the law and treating that person and shoving the law down the throat of that person.
Yeah.
I know our time is gone, man, but I wish I could, could unpack this.
I'll give you 2 more minutes. It's okay. 2 minutes.
You know, like, while I'm still on the meat issue, you can't begin to shove down the law of don't eat meat. Hey, Ellen White says if you eat meat, the pastor who eats meat is not going to heaven. You can't shove that information down the throat of a person who actually needs that B complex from the meat. You need to love that person.
True, actually.
Later on, when you've got a better understanding, they have a better understanding. You can come to a point where the two of you agree that maybe it is better to use supplements. Maybe it is better to use these kind of herbs. Maybe it is better to use this kind of food, the one that doesn't include food, meat. But for now, love me with my meat, love me with my, do you understand what I'm saying? You cannot love the law above the person.
Yeah. Well, Pastor, thank you so much, man. I wish we had also, more time. But hey, our time is far spent. We're going to be going to the news in a short bit. But I must thank you so much for coming through. Thoroughly enjoying these conversations. Blessings to you, Pastor.
Hallelujah.
Until we connect tomorrow, same time and same place.
Hallelujah. Thank you so much. And God bless to the team as well.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Blessings.
Hallelujah.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.